Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim Perek Tes, Chapter 9. When Gidon, who had been so successful and victorious, dies, here comes the question. What is going to happen now to the Jewish nation? Will they fall apart? Will there be other people coming to fight them? That doesn't happen, but what happens was much, much worse. In this parak, we will learn about Avimelech, who we mentioned yesterday. He is the son of the Pilegesh, of the concubine of Gidon, who came from Shechem, and demonstrated qualities that were so very different than his humble father's character. There are 57 psukim in this parak, which means that I cannot even spend a half a minute on each one. Therefore, today, I'm just going to tell the story without reading any of the psukim, any of the verses inside. After Gidon died, Avimelech goes to Shechem to convince his mother's family and the local leaders to make him king. He said very simply, "Would you rather be ruled by 70 of Gidon's sons or just one man who is your own flesh and blood?" As we mentioned yesterday, Gidon had 70 children from many different wives. And now Avimelech said, "Just support me and there's going to be only one." The leaders of Shechem gave him 70 silver coins from the temple of Baal Bris, who was an Avodah Zarah that they were serving. Avimelech used the money to hire a gang of thugs who went to their father's hometown and slaughtered 69 of his half-brothers. They found them all together. Perhaps they were mourning their father, or perhaps they were trying to figure out how to lead. The only one who survived was the youngest boy, whose name was Yosam. If you mix up the letters in his name, you'll get Yasom, which means orphan. He then, Avimelech, crowned himself the king of Shechem. During Avimelech's coronation, Yosom climbed up to Har Gerizim, to Mount Gerizim, and shouted a warning to the people of Shechem. He uses what becomes one of the most famous mishalim, one of the most famous parables in Tanakh, and it's a story about trees looking for a king. This story that Yosam says is part of a nevuah which was ratified and validated by Shmuel Hanavi, who writes it down for posterity, so that we should learn an important lesson about this. How do we look at leadership? Who is a good leader? And what must a leader do? And he tells a story. There were three kinds of trees: the olive tree, the date tree, and the grape tree. These represent three types of leaders. There are ones that give good, like the olive tree. There are ones that give pleasure, like the date tree. And ones like the grape that do both. They give good and they give pleasure. And what happens is the trees need a king. And first they go to the olive tree and they say, "Please be our king." And he says, "No, I'm too busy producing my fruits." Same with the date tree. And the grapes also. We don't want to give up our own private endeavors in order to lead. Surprisingly, when they go to the thorn bush, he responds positively. And he says, "Yes, I will be your leader. But you should know, if you are taking me and really believe that I can be your king, and you are ready to lower yourself to my non-existent shade, good. But if not, don't think I can't harm you. I have thorns and I can cause you damage. If you are disloyal, I will burn down the mighty cedars of Lebanon." The trees agree to take this lowly bramble to be their king. Unlike the fruit trees, the thorn produces nothing useful and offers no real shade. Worse, its dead leaves dry out in the summer and are highly flammable. Yosam's point was clear. Avimelech was a useless, dangerous leader. He has no good qualities to offer, and his reckless selfishness would eventually burn everything down. Question: did they have a choice, the trees or the Jewish nation, if everyone else was turning them down? And Yosam was saying, "It's better not to have a leader at all than to have a harmful leader. You should be able to serve Hashem without a leader and daven to him to send a good one." And perhaps he was also giving a message here to other potential leaders of Klal Yisrael, olives, dates, and grapes. Even if you're busy doing your own Avodas Hashem, even if you're busy working towards your own personal goals, if there's a vacuum of leadership and we need a leader, then sometimes, even if it's not in your personality or in your character, like Gidon, Yosam's father, you have to step up to the leadership role, even if you don't want to. Even if you feel like I can be a better Jew without being a leader, if you're needed, get up and do it because you need to. And perhaps this message penetrated because we do see after this fiasco, there will be many years of straight and uncomplicated leadership. Abimelech is a king for 3 years, and then Yosam's warning is going to come true. For no good reason other than it was time to take revenge against Abimelech for what he has done, the leaders of Shechem get tired of Abimelech's greedy rule, and they set up ambushes on the local trade roads to cut off his tax revenue. They did not let him come into Shechem. There's a lack of leadership because Abimelech, he wasn't a real leader. He was just doing this for his glory. And it showed by the way people started to do whatever they want. They're stealing on the roads, and this is the only case of thievery that we see in the whole Sefer Shoftim. And perhaps they were stealing just from Abimelech, or they were stealing from everyone because there was no real king. And at this point, a stranger whose name is Gaal ben Eved, and perhaps his name has a little bit of an ironic twist to it because Gaal means disgust and Eved is a servant, but this stranger, Rashi says was not even a Jew, gets all the people of Shechem to turn against Abimelech. This is a fitting punishment. He ran after honor, after kavod, and now Abimelech is going to lose it to a stranger. However, there's another person whose name is Zevul, who worked together with Abimelech. He was Abimelech's spy. He secretly tips him off. He tells Abimelech, there's this Gaal ben Eved who is planning a revolt against you. Abimelech shows up with his army. A battle takes place where many people of Shechem dies and their land was destroyed. The people of Shechem are worthy of this punishment because without their support, the original 70 coins and their desire to anoint Abimelech, he would not have been able to do what he did. This is a civil war where neither side is right, and therefore both sides are going to lose. Abimelech continues on fighting, whereupon 1,000 men and women gathered in a tower by the Beis Habal, which of course is where this whole story started, and Abimelech gathers his men, chops down tree branches, piles them against the tower, and burns the tower to the ground, killing about 1,000 men and women. This is the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Yosam. A fire is going to come out of the thorn and destroy the people who appointed him. The Navi actually goes into a lot of detail in order to show that Abimelech did have leadership qualities. And what could he have done with these leadership qualities had he channeled them into the right direction? He could have been the protector of the Jews. And look at what he became. And now the second half of the prophecy has to be fulfilled, the defeat of Abimelech. Abimelech goes next to a nearby town called Tevetz and tries the exact same tactic. But as he gets close to the tower to set it on fire, a woman drops a heavy stone from the roof and it falls directly onto his head. Knowing that he was dying, Abimelech begged his armor bearer to kill him with his sword so history wouldn't record that a woman has defeated him. The servant does so, ending his brutal reign. Both Abimelech and Shechem were destroyed by fire, just as Yosam had predicted. And what we learn from here, this was Klal Yisrael's first attempt at a royal dynasty, and it was a complete disaster. And indeed, we're not going to talk about having a king for another 200 years. Abimelech is the ultimate person who rules without doing any good for anybody around him. There's no redeeming qualities for Abimelech. Everything is greed, and he uses his talent only to help himself. And this story tells us to be careful not to put somebody into power, even if we crave leadership, even if we say, I need somebody to be my leader, a bad king is much worse than no king at all. And for a person who's running after COVID, what an ironic end to the story. He asks the sword bearer to kill him so that people shouldn't know that a woman killed him. And now for the rest of history, we all know not only that a woman killed him, but his cowardly act to try and cover up his tracks. Yosam says to the people of Shechem, there is no benefit to you from appointing him to the king, and you will see that because you have chosen someone who went against all the Hakaras HaTov that you should have, all the gratitude that you owe Gideon, a fire is going to destroy you all. Pasuk Nun Vav 56, Vayoshev Elohim. We use the name of Hashem as Elohim when we are talking about Midas Hadin, when we are talking about the attribute of justice. Vayoshev Elohim es ra'as Avimelech asher asala aviv, and Avimelech is paid back for his evil that he did to his father. What evil did he do to his father? Laharog eshivim echav, to kill out 70 of his brothers. Okay, we know he killed 69 of his brothers. Yosem survived. And then Pasuk Nun Zayin 57, Ve'eskol ra'as anshe Shechem heshiv Elokim b'rosham, and all the evil of the city of Shechem, who went along with Avimelech and helped him and supported him, Hashem paid them back too. Vatavai alehem kelelas Yosem ben Yerubal, and the klala, the curse of Yosem ben Yerubal, comes true. And so ends this very, very long, very, very sad parak. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Nishot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avot, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.